I want to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4 this morning for a few minutes. We'll try to notice a few things here in this chapter. I certainly ask that you would continue praying as we transition our service to this part of the hour. And I stand in great need of your prayers and the Lord's assistance as we try to look at a portion of His Word together. I want to start in verse 8. 2 Kings here, we're really looking a lot at the life and times of the prophet Elisha, which I'm sure that you remember followed the prophet Elijah after his ministry, after Elijah was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. The Lord came and took Elijah, did not see natural death, and He carried him to heaven. And Elisha was left in his stead and to take over his office as prophet and servant of the Lord. And you might remember when that happened, if you go back and read about that, you might remember that Elisha had a request for Elijah. And Elijah had told him that he was going to be leaving. The Lord was going to take him. And Elisha asked that he would like to have a double portion of his spirit. And Elijah says, "Thou hast asked a hard thing or difficult thing." He says, "But nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you," he said, "it'll be granted to you." And he did in fact see him be taken into heaven. And so I've always tried to remember that as we read through the life and times and the miracles and the actions of Elisha, that oftentimes, I've never done this, it might be an interesting study to do it, I've never tried to go and count the Bible miracles of Elijah versus the Bible miracles of Elisha, but I wonder if it might be close to being double. Who knows? There's quite a few that are in here with Elisha, but I'd like to start this morning on verse 8, and we're talking about Elisha. It says that it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Every time that I see the scriptures describe someone as being great, I often wondered what all that entailed. And what are some of the characteristics and the evidences in their life? What are some of the events in their life that makes the Bible call them great? This was a great woman. We don't know anything about her. We don't even know her name. That's kind of interesting to me that we have such a great character in the scriptures here, and she is not even named by surname or first name, either one. Not even named, but yet the Bible says she is a great woman. Well, there's a lot of great women in the scripture. I hope that you Bible readers have noticed that before. There are many, many great women and great men in the scriptures. But when the scriptures call one out and point it out to you, always take notice of that. That's the case here. There's a great woman that lived in Shunem. And as Elisha traveled through the land, it said she met him and she constrained him to eat bread. And says it, and so as it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread with her. And turns out she's married also, has an older husband. But that other word that I noticed there was the word constrained. You know, what do we usually do when we invite someone to have lunch with us or come and have dinner with us? We invite them over to eat. We simply pretty much give an invitation, don't we? Just a routine, common invitation. But the Bible uses the word constrained for her. She constrained him to eat with her. That word constrained gives the thought of much more forceful, much more intent. In other words, almost insisting that you come in and eat with us. I've had a lot of old Baptist folks do that to me through the years, and I tell you, I've met some of the finest people on earth And I remember now some of them, they were almost to the point of constraining me to come home and stay with them. Come spend the night with me, or come and eat with me tonight or today. Come home and have lunch with me. They were very persuasive in doing that. I just think that's a good quality among the Lord's people. You know, it is nice and it's good and it's proper to extend an invitation, but sometimes I've known some of the Lord's people, they would literally twist my arm until I would say, okay, yes, I'll come. But how sweet are those people? That's what this lady did to Elisha, the prophet Elisha. We don't even know her name, but she constrained him to come in and to eat bread. And so turns out he did it, and he made a habit of it. It began to be a custom and a habit. And every time that he would pass through the area, he made it a point to come and to stop and to have a meal with this woman and her husband. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth us continually. She says, I perceive that. And she says in verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. This is a great woman that has great skills at being hospitable, extending hospitality, and she's very persuasive in getting people to stop and to visit with her. But somehow she even has good skills of perception. And she had a very accurate perception as well, I might note. She perceived that this was a man of God. Well, in fact, it was. It was a prophet of the Lord, and his name was Elisha. She perceived that he's a man of God. And so she got with her husband and suggested that, well, you know, he travels through here quite often. I said, how about we build him a little room and put a little bed and a table and a lamp or a candle in there, where he'll have a place to stay, he can spend the night with us. Not only can he eat with us, but he has a place to sleep and rest. I wish I had time to tell you some of the stories of some of the homes that I have been invited to stay in through the years of the Old Baptist. I have so many memories. I have so many of them, I can't even remember them all. But literally have been invited to spend nights and to stay in the homes of the Lord's people all over this country, and made trips up to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I mean most of the southern states, really the southern half of the USA, except for like out in Arizona. I haven't been in southwestern USA, but I have been in to church in California with Elder Joe Holder. There's a wonderful group of Primitive Baptists out there close to Los Angeles. They're in Bellflower, California, and guess what? They're just like you folks. They're just old Baptists just like you folks. We went to service there one morning, Sister Bonnie and I did, and we had lunch with them, and it was wonderful. But I have been invited to stay all over in people's homes. The old Baptists are like this. They're some of the most hospitable people. I said last Sunday, you just don't realize how large your family is, but it's large. And they're all the same, and I just think it's wonderful. They all have these traits and these characteristics, but she's so caring, and her husband agreed with her. He says, okay, and so they built a little room. And so it says that it fell on a day, in verse 11, it fell on a day that he came in thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And notice her answer. She answered, I dwell among mine own people. Here's another characteristic of the Lord's people. Not only are they friendly and kind and hospitable, and they really do mean it when they invite you to come home and eat with them and share a meal with them and maybe sometimes stay overnight and be their guest in their home. Not only do they really mean that, but they're just humble people. They're the down to earth, the salt of the earth. That's what the Lord's people really are. And he says, would you like me to speak to the king for you? I mean, Elisha is moved by her kindness and her hospitality. And he says, would you like me to speak to the king for you? Or maybe even the captain of the host, the general of the army. What could be done for you? And she simply says, I just dwell among mine own people. I don't need anything special. I dwell among mine own people. Isn't that true for all of us, really? We just dwell among our people, the Lord's people. That's all I want to do. I just want to dwell among the Lord's people. I'm happy and I'm satisfied with that. There's so many people in the world today that are seeking for greatness, and they're trying to be acclaimed and to make something of themselves and go and build memorials to themselves in various places. But this lady says, I just dwell among my own people. I don't do anything special. But you know, that's a characteristic of the Lord's people, is that they're humble. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 25 when Jesus is talking about there's going to be a day when there will be a division, there'll be a judgment, and the sheep and the goats will be separated before the Father, and the sheep will be placed on his right hand, the goats on the left. And one of the things is that the Lord is going to say to the sheep, he says, you've done all these different things, all these good works that you've done. And he says, and you've done them unto these little ones. He says, and you've done it unto me. And you remember what the sheep are going to characteristically answer? And they're going to say, when, Lord, when did we see thee and do these things? The reason they don't really know is because they're humble people. And that's just the way they live their life. That's a characteristic of the Lord's people, is that they do all these good things. And it's just a way of life. They're not thinking about them consciously, is that I want to show that I'm very humble and I have a lot of humility and I want people to see that. No, the Lord's people don't act like that. They don't even know when they do all these good alms deeds. That's just a characteristic of them. And she's no different. I just dwell among my own people. And he says, well, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered and said, verily, she hath no child and her husband is old. Here's another thing. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. Have you ever noticed how many of the great women of the Bible were at one point barren in their lives? They had no children for many years. Oftentimes, there's a lot of the great notable women of the Bible that were like that. And so it's just interesting to me. I don't know if it really means anything, but I've noticed that before. And here's another one. Here's a great woman of the Bible. She had no child. And so Elisha said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived. Guess what happened? She conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. So the prophet says, you'll have a son. And she did, in fact, have a son. I'm sure it was a very joyous occasion for her. And I'll tell you, back in her day, in Bible times like that, it was not a good thing for a woman to be considered barren. It was considered to be almost shameful, and it was kind of a curse to the women. Then all of the women, many of them wanted to have children, and if they were not able to for one reason or the other, it was very hard on them at that time. They were kind of looked down upon by many of the people. And so I'm sure that when she had this child, it was an occasion of great joy and happiness for her and for her husband. And so it says that she bore a son. And in verse 18, it says that when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad to carry him to his mother. And they took him in to his mother, and he sat on his mother's knees until noon. And then it says in verse 20 that he died. And I'm sure that there was much confusion in the mother and father's mind when this happened. After receiving such a notable and such an astounding miracle from the Lord of them having a child at such an old age, and then for this child to get sick and suddenly die and pass away so unexpectedly at such a young age. It doesn't give his age, but he was obviously very young. That must have raised great questions in their heart and in their mind. I'll tell you, beloved, there are just many questions that we have while living here on earth that I'm afraid we don't always have the answers to, is it? There's things that happen in life that we just simply don't have answers to. But that happened, and I'm sure that they were devastated by that. But I want you to notice what she did. I want you to notice what this great woman of the Bible did. It says that she went up and she laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." You know what I'm impressed by this woman? She's just lost her son very suddenly and very unexpectedly. We don't really know what happened. It just said that he went out in the field with his father and he began to complain that his head was hurting. Who knows if he may have had an aneurysm or something like that, or maybe they were in a very, very hot region of the world. Who knows if they didn't have a heat-related illness, but something happened and he died. Very serious. But did you notice what she did? As soon as he died, she immediately, instead of starting to prepare for a burial, she carried the child and put him on the bed of Elisha. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door, and then she went out, and then she told her husband, "I need to travel. I need to go see the man of God." You know, I think a lot of people would have started preparing for a burial and preparing for a funeral there. But for some reason, she didn't. I think this woman, not only was she a great woman, I think one of the key reasons she was such a great woman is because she was a woman of faith. She was a woman of great faith. I have no doubt in my mind that she had heard of what happened with Elijah some years back. You might remember that back in 1 Kings chapter 17, when Elijah was on the scene, and we're talking about Elijah. Do you remember the time where Elijah was living by the brook and the ravens would bring him food? He had water and the ravens would bring him food. God was taking care of him there by the brook. Remember the time the brook dried up? And he had to pick up and move on because there had been no rain. And the Lord said to him, "Arise and get thee to Zarephath, the city of Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee." You remember what happened there when Elijah went to Zarephath? And he, sure enough, he found this widow woman, and she had a son. And they were very poor, and they were running out of food. You remember that? And all she had left was a handful of meal and just a little bit of oil. And she says, she told Elijah, "I'm about to go out and gather some sticks that I can cook this last little bit of food, and then we're going to die." And you remember, and there was a story there about how Elijah performed a great miracle for her and produced a lot of oil, enough oil, she was able to take it and go and to sell much of that oil and to pay off her debts. And so that was the situation there. But you might remember that she had that situation, and then also she had a son as well, and that son got sick, and his sickness was so bad that he died. This widow's son eventually died. And so that happened, but do you remember what Elijah did? Elijah ended up taking up that son, and he laid his body on the son, and ended up brought the child's soul back into him and brought the child back to life, and he delivered that son back to his mother. And that's in 1 Kings chapter 17. I don't want to read all that for the sake of time, but this great woman, this Shunammite over here of Shunem, there's no doubt in my mind that she had heard before what had happened with the prophet Elijah. I'm sure the news of that resurrection of that young child traveled far and wide. But did you notice the faith that she has in the man of God? She has a belief in her God, and she has faith to the point that when her child died, she did not begin preparing for a burial as many people would have. She laid him on the bed. She says, I am going to see the man of God. And so you get down to verse 23, and it says, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? The husband is saying, why are you going to go see the man of God today? And it is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And her answer is, it shall be well. Now I submit to you this morning that when you have just lost a miracle child, you're in your older years of life, you've been barren for many, many, many years, and the Lord has just given you a miracle son, and he lived a few years, and then he up and suddenly died. And for you to be able to tell your husband, and he says, why are you going? It's not a special day. It's not a special day of worship. Why are you going to see the man of God? And she just says, it shall be well. That's a woman of faith. That's a woman of great faith. I just wonder how many of us this morning would have enough faith if we have a tragedy or a difficult circumstance arise in our life. I'm talking about one that really tries our faith and it cuts all the way down into our heart. If we have a tragedy in life, are we able to say, it shall be well? It shall be well. Sister Karen, you had got test results not long ago that looked pretty bleak. I mean, just look like I'm going to have to start up some more treatments, probably going to have surgery again. I mean, it just looked like all that is the odds of it happening were pretty good. I hope you somehow in your heart were able to feel it shall be well. Because that's the feeling I believe that we ought to have when we truly have trust and have faith in our Lord and our Savior. Regardless of the outcome, it shall be well. How about that? Regardless of how things sometimes may or may not go, do we have the attitude and do we have the true faith and belief in our mind and heart that it shall be well? She did. This is a good story. So she saddled an ass and she got her servant and immediately went as quick as she could and went to go see the man of God. And it says that in verse 25, when Gehazi saw her coming, he said to Elisha, he says, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. He says, run now, I pray thee to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? And is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And look at her answer. Gehazi went, the servant of Elisha went, and he asked those questions. Is it okay with you? Is your husband okay? Is your child okay? And you know, for whatever reason, maybe only known to her, I guess, she didn't tell Gehazi what had happened. She didn't tell the servant by proxy, sort of, to go back and tell the man of God. She wanted to tell the man of God herself. She wanted to speak to him. She just says, again, it is well. I marvel at that. I marvel at someone who can be in the midst of a tragedy and stand up and say with all conviction that it is well. I hope you and I hope we have the faith to be able to do that. Because we have a God that is able to make whatever situation we have in life to make it well. And it will be well. It truly will. And she says it's well. And she came to the man of God and she caught him by the feet, and Gehazi tried to thrust her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Elisha seemed to be very surprised that the Lord had not showed him the matter with this Shunammite woman, that her son had died. He seemed very surprised by that. But he said, the Lord hath hid it from me. And she says to Elisha, did I not desire a son of my Lord? And did I not say, do not deceive me? And so Elisha said to his servant Gehazi, he says, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thy hand, go thy way, and if thou meet any man, salute him not, and if anyone salutes thee, answer him not again, and you go and you lay my staff upon the face of this child. And so they went, and the mother made a declaration there and says, as long as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and he followed her. And so they went on back. If you go and you read on and you read the end of this story, you'll find that Elisha did very similar to what Elijah did. He went in, he said he laid his body upon the child, and he put his eyes upon his eyes and his mouth upon his mouth and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and it said the flesh of the child waxed warm. And then he got up and he returned and he walked about the house for a while, and he said he came back and the child sneezed 7 times and he opened his eyes, and they called the Shunammite woman and delivered, said, take up thy son. He was raised back to life. You know, it turned out well for her, didn't it? But are you impressed this morning with her faith, that in the midst of that, probably, I'm sure she had never seen a miracle in her life, or certainly not someone resurrected back to life. I feel sure she had heard about Elijah, the prophet Elijah, raising someone to life. But she had enough faith in her God to be able to say, it is well. I just hope this morning that you and I, we don't know what next week's going to bring. We don't know what next year, what we'll face. But I hope when situations in life come up that we will always know and have the knowledge that our God is able to help us to get through any situation in life. And I just hope that we'll have enough strength and courage and conviction in our heart that we can always say that it is well. It's well and it will be well. I hope these things will help us along as a church family. I'm thankful to be here as a part of the church family here at Anger, and I very much look forward to the coming year, and I pray the Lord to continue to bless Anger Church. May God bless and keep each one of you.